It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Wednesday, 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. Tony Vitello coming up in 20 minutes here on The Drive. We start with our Top 5 at 5, brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Tucker Harlan.
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee running back Cam Seldon will miss the remainder of spring practice. Seldon injured his shoulder and had surgery to repair it, shutting him down.
Swift recovery.
Better safe than sorry. Cam, we'll just build some depth. Isn't that what I'm supposed to say?
So it's Dylan Sampson, Khalifa Keith.
Is that the kid's name?
Who is the?
Deshaun Bishop.
Deshaun Bishop is
the And the new kid we got.
Peyton Lewis.
Yes, Peyton Lewis.
Who is also injured. He's out for the spring.
What?
Yeah. Yes. He's not been dressing.
But should be back for fall camp. But already injuries starting to pile up a little bit.
A little.
And
little.
Patrick Wilk.
Walk on depth.
From Montgomery Bell Academy in Nashville.
Correct. Also, Hunter Barnes from Memphis.
Got to have those. Those walk-ons, the running back position.
One of those two guys is going to be the star of the spring game. You just watch.
Those two are the official defense tackling dummies right now.
Yep.
Just, every time they go live, just knock the crap out of those dudes.
At number 2, Brandon Huntley Hatfield is on the move once again.
Hatley Batley.
He spent one season at Tennessee 2 seasons ago. That was the 2021 and 22 season. And he spent the last 2 at Louisville under Kenny Payne. This comes shortly after Louisville announced it was hiring Pat Kelsey from College of Charleston.
I mean, I'm sure the story was this kid had handlers here and was getting bad advice and all that stuff. And I wish I could go to him and say, dude, as we've seen you play your freshman year, obviously just oozing with athletic potential, right? You should be an NBA player someday. But you need to be developed. You had a great developing head coach in Rick Barnes. You left because you left, whatever.
Well, and he reclassified the year before that.
You go to play for one of the worst D1 coaches in recent memory in Kenny Payne. They hire a guy who might – there's no way he's worse than Kenny Payne.
Yeah, like, that's as bad as you can get.
You're going to have better coaching under this Kelsey fellow, and you leave immediately – so it's like the guy doesn't want to have a good coach. I hope he goes somewhere where his talents can be nurtured and developed.
Back in the SEC, yes or no?
I mean, if I were advising him, I would say, first of all, let Pat Kelsey
give him a chance.
Pat Kelsey.
Talk to him and see where you might fit in. Like, you're going to hop in the portal. That's your response, to hop in the portal 2 hours after he's announced as the coach. Like, I might wait there. And then if not, if it's just not a good fit, you want to start over, go somewhere where they're going to coach you hard, where you're going to work hard. Stop listening to the people who aren't your coach and go all in for a program. Be developed, whether it's the SEC, the Big Ten, or wherever.
At number 3, Jadeveon Clowney is headed to the Carolina Panthers on a 2-year, $20 million deal. This will be Clowney's 6th team, as he was drafted by the Texans and then dealt to the Seahawks, Titans, Browns, and Ravens.
We thought he was washed 4 seasons ago.
Yeah.
He's still out there signing these big deals. 31 years old, Jadeveon Clowney. Is this his second stint with the Panthers? Hasn't he been there before?
No. He's from Rock Hill, South Carolina, so not far away.
That's probably one of the – Okay. So he's kind of a homecoming for him?
It is. They mentioned something about him and Stephon Gilmore reuniting there.
All those guys were coming out of Rock Hill at that time. It was all Patterson went there, CP.
Worley.
Justin Worley was from there. And then South Carolina had a ton of guys out of that area. Fertile Crescent.
At number 4, 2 games scheduled on MLB opening day have been postponed to Friday. The New York Mets were scheduled to host the Milwaukee Brewers Thursday afternoon, but with wet weather in Queens, the game was pushed back to Friday at 1:40 p.m. Just minutes later, the Philadelphia Phillies announced their sold-out opener against NL East rival Atlanta Braves was moved from Thursday at 3:05 to Friday at the same time.
Sad.
We can wait. We can wait. When is first pitch Friday?
Same time, 3:05.
I expect updates every 5 minutes on the program.
The first of many chops.
Well, we'll be carrying the Braves game on Saturday, right? When does that start? Tiger team might want to look into this. No big deal.
You're the Braves fan.
Massive
you don't know?
4:05.
Why are you not spearheading your favorite organization's debut on the station you're on?
I am. What just happened? Am I taking crazy pills? Like, yeah.
But you didn't know the time.
I don't know the time, but I know we're supposed to be doing the game. A little preoccupied. We got
the game will be on.
Right here on 1340 AM and 105.7 FM in Knoxville. Very exciting.
And finally, at number five, a Southern California Police Department has been told by the Lego company to stop using Lego heads to cover up the faces of wanted suspects in social media posts. The Murrieta Police Department used the Lego heads on its social media posts as a way to gain more public interaction. After some criticism from within, Lego reached out and told the police department to refrain from using its property in its social media content.
How are they using the...
So,
Legos.
Basically, they are taking, you know, pictures of wanted persons and then placing Lego heads on top of these.
How are we supposed to find them?
I was going to say, how does that help you find the wanted person if they look like a Lego man?
That's another thing I'm confused by.
I see that on Facebook. The sheriff's department will often put, like, we're looking for these guys. I think that's pretty neat. Even if it doesn't work, I just like the comments where people say, I hope they find this scumbag.
Right. Yeah. It's very but if they're looking like the Lego man.
Yeah.
It could be you. How would I know?
That's what Lego is. Hey, stop using our products. A, it's disparaging. B, we can't find the people because guess what? The thieves aren't walking around in Lego masks.
I don't know how you track the people down when you've just got a Lego block just sitting on their face.
Do they still have those pictures in the post office? You remember what you walk out of the post office?
Yeah,
and
they still
said,
got them.
Hey, be on the lookout for this guy.
Not a big post office guy.
Neither am I, but I had to mail a couple of things for the station last year. I did not take note, though. I did not notice any wanted ads on the way out.
There was a dude that worked.
I guess they're not wanted ads.
This creeper that worked over at this gas station over on like one of those side streets off Baxter. And it was right down from where I used to work at a commercial freight company down on Central. We used to stop at this gas. It was like the only gas station that was open at like 3 a.m. And then the guy ended up being on America's Most Wanted. He got caught down there.
Really?
Yeah. He's a pederast.
Oh.
He's creepy looking, too.
I mean, I'm no criminal mastermind, and granted, that's not a mindset I even want to spend any time in. But I got to say, you're hiding out from the law. You're working
at a
the
gas station
third shift
slash
at a gas
third
station.
At a gas station slash, I'm not kidding, like hardcore.
In a rough part of town.
A rough part of town where they also rented hardcore pornographic videos, videotape, VCR tapes. That was in the back half of the gas station.
Sounds like a reputable establishment.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid and going to
pretty
Blockbuster
dogs,
or
yeah.
Gemstone for Friday night, and there's like the room with the guys going, you're like,
well,
oh,
Blockbuster
what's in there?
Never had a room.
They never had the room?
I'm pretty sure
you ever
Gemstone
go in the room?
Did. Well, sure.
I
get thrown out of the room because we weren't 18.
By the time I was 18,
look at the boxes.
Mom, can we get this one? Tucker's generation will never know the joy of going to the video store on the weekend, just loading up on videos.
You see, I vaguely, very, very vaguely remember going into some Blockbusters.
Ah, okay.
So
that was fun, man.
The dream.
I was
Friday
probably
night. Mm-hmm. Oh,
what, 6 or 7 years old when those things started closing rapidly. So I have some, like I said, very vague memories, but I can say that I was around for them, unlike some people.
That was a great time, man. You go get a couple of videos, a great Friday night, get yourself some popcorn, have a little movie night at the house.
I could get two. I could get a video game and a movie, or two of one, and a thing of candy, and then we'd go and swing by and get a pizza. That was Friday night, me and Dad.
Your 19-inch TV, which was fun. Got the job done. Imagine watching a movie on a 19-inch TV now.
No.
Couldn't be done.
I thought you said you watch movies on your phone.
It's a good point.
But it is high def.
It's a good point.
Big change.
And it's right in front of my face.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Like competitive video gamers play on a really small TV set rather than a big one. Like
why?
20-inch or under.
So their eyes don't have to travel all over the place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Especially on those combat games.
Very strategic.
Strategery. Dang. Well done. All right. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. It's where I go for all my dental work. I've been going there for a couple of years. Always a great dental experience at Knoxville Smiles. I know a lot of you guys are going there now, too. Really appreciate that. If you're not going there, what are you doing, man? You got to make the switch to Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Malone, Dr. Costa are going to take great care of you and your teeth, and you're going to be so glad that you made the switch, just like I did, to Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com. You can call them and tell them Fan Run sent you, 865-539-1776, to set up your appointment today. That's 539-1776. Tony Vitello coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's get Chris in here before the break. Good afternoon, Chris. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
I miss the days of having to spend 5 minutes to set a recording to record a TV show.
Working that VCR remote, man. I was a pro at it. I get that thing set up pretty quickly myself.
You're talking about cutting off toes and fingers. That's better than what Mike Vrabel said he'd cut off.
That's a good point. I thought about that when we were
How
talking about
it. How much do you want it, Chris? How much do you want it, baby?
Not that much.
Vrabes wants it.
They said he was good.
That video of him and LaJuan after the Ravens game is one that sticks out.
Well, Vrabel got out of here without the Super Bowl, but he still got to keep his wing wong, so that's good for him. Yeah.
As far as Brandon Hundley Hatfield, do you realize that's his seventh school in 8 years? 4 different high schools, Tennessee, Louisville, now wherever he ends up.
Wow, yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say there's an issue there.
It's kind of a rolling stone.
Yeah.
So much talent just wasted.
Who was the guy we had who ended up at Washington State was like that? Justin Powell. He was 7 schools in 7 years.
Yeah, but I mean, he's nowhere near the talent
level.
Yeah,
I mean, it goes back to the parents, doesn't it? It just does. You know, this whole generation, they're not going to get playing time here. Well, I'm going to transfer him here.
Four different high schools. I mean, that's nuts.
At a certain point, it's not the school. Justin Powell's listed on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
What?
He made it!
And this may have been brought up last week. I wasn't able to call in the night that Kentucky lost. I just happened to see it when I was deleting photos on my phone from Weigels, who's a great follow on Twitter X. It came out, Wildcat Tears Milk, last chance to enjoy this salty product until the fall. Some suggest 2, but we would recommend 1 and done. I don't know if y'all brought that up last week.
Oh, man. It's
very clever.
Quality content right there.
But yeah, they're a great follow. So, yeah, all right, I'll let you guys. I know you said Vitello's coming on. Hopefully we can sweep Georgia. But Tennessee's bats are lead, but we got to find some bullpen help. So, all right, see you.
All right, yeah, that's a good question. Bullpen help. I'm going to put that on the list for Coach Vitello. Coming up next, right here on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates.
What'd you guys make of former Syracuse point guard Brendan Paul being arrested for being P. Diddy's drug mule?
Saw that. Didn't really know what to think. I don't remember him at Syracuse.
So I recognized him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did he play much, or was he just?
He didn't play a lot, but he played enough to where I noticed him.
Okay.
That whole thing's wild. We haven't really talked about that.
Isn't Prince Harry involved somehow?
No.
No?
His name came up, but it wasn't.
He's in the lawsuit.
Somebody is who's not some. Don't you go trying to slander Prince Harry, Russ. He's not.
He's in the lawsuit.
He's not. He's not listed in the lawsuit as somebody who did something creepy.
Still, not something you want your name associated with if you're a member of the British royal family.
But all these people.
It's not typical for them to be associated with creepy stuff.
Some freaky stuff, man.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio. Coach Vitello coming up next. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Russell Bear, Houston Tucker. Pleased to be joined now by the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, Tony Vitello, on the phone with us this afternoon. What's up, coach?
Not much. Ready to start another weekend here on Friday. Not just the Sweet 16 action, but obviously the baseball's got our hands full, too.
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, congrats on the win last night. I know Tennessee Tech had kind of been y'all's kryptonite the past few years. Had to feel good to finally get the W against those guys.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what the overall record is, but I think kind of the, you know, the standard feeling from our point of view is you got some guys that either love or hate the Vols in that dugout, and it's going to affect the way they play a little bit. And then Coach Braga has always done a good job over there. So it's one of those Tuesdays that's always going to be a challenge, but it's also always going to be on our schedule. Because of how close we are to those guys.
We were talking yesterday. It's like, hey, man, if we don't get them last night, maybe we just stop scheduling them all together. It's not working out.
Well, you never want to run from a good challenge.
Good,
but,
good point. That would not be a good look.
It was good that we were able to use a variety of pitchers to silence what is a pretty active offense, swinging the bat aggressively and running the bases aggressively.
Hey, Coach, lots of injury talk, unfortunately. I know when you were going to medical school to become a college baseball coach, they probably didn't go over all of this stuff, but lots of talk about forearms and side muscles and appendices. I don't even know what the proper word is there, but just a lot going on, it seems like.
Yeah, no, there is, and it's been a little frustrating. I mean, you know, Kirby misses the first weekend, and from there it's kind of been that pattern of – you know, some guys that are sore or just out for a little bit. We've got a kid that's got mononucleosis, I guess is the official title. It reminded me of the joke in Wayne's World, that came up about mono, but now Billy's, you know, appendix situation is probably the most talked about thing. And, you know, we don't have a midweek game next week. It's definite he'll miss this weekend, but where we go from there, I'm not sure, but it shouldn't be too long, knock on a lot of wood.
Well, it seems like you've got some depth there. We see the Antigua kid out there flashing a little leather last night. You move Curly around, and I guess at least you get to explore the depth you have.
Yeah, no, I think to this point, and this sounds crazy and crude, but to this point, at least on the position side of things, you know, Bargo's hammy bothering them, or, you know, Alex Perry missing a little action. It's allowed us to spread the wealth a little bit and explore that depth, like you said, and also just keep everybody happy. Because right now, if anything, our guys have built on that team chemistry that they bragged about in the fall, and it's gotten even better. And eventually you want everybody healthy, and eventually you're going to ride kind of the guys or the horses that are doing the best for you.
Tony Vitello with us this afternoon on the program. Coach, your thoughts on the series with Georgia this weekend? They're coming off a sweep over an Alabama team that took 2 of 3 from you guys. So, I mean, that says it all about how good these guys are. What do you see as the keys to winning the series?
You know, I think for us it's finding a way in those moments to win those tight games. I think for us we're still getting to know this pitching staff, and the pitching staff still getting to know themselves a little bit. Dylan Loy got his first start last night. It was only one inning, but I think he's got the confidence and presence of really kind of a veteran pitcher and good stuff as well. So as we get deeper into this season and start to explore different ways, I think it'll help us create matchups that put our kids in a position to succeed on the mound. And then position player-wise, you know, we have found some consistency there. But with the injuries, you know, you kind of have to figure out what do you want to do in certain spots. And if anything, Ariel showed you that he can play as good a defense as maybe anybody in our league at that position.
Last time we had you on, you said that you would be willing to trade one of your bats to add another arm. Is that still the case? Is the bullpen still what's keeping you up at night, Coach?
You know, a little bit. I feel like I'm sleeping better this year than other years for whatever reason. I'm still not sleeping very well, but that's kind of nature of the beast. You know, but I think I wouldn't trade any one person. I like the guys that we have, but it is still the flip of last year. And I think it'll stay that way throughout the year where you feel like, man, we're plus on the position side this year compared to maybe anybody in our conference as far as depth. And pitching-wise, maybe a tick short of where we want to be on the dry erase board when we talk recruiting. But it's always going to be tough to pin the tail on the donkey with, you know, draft-eligible sophomores and the draft in general and draft out of high school and the portal. So, you know, the bottom line is we're not changing. We're not going to add anybody. This isn't, you know, MLB baseball where we'll sign somebody in September or call somebody up. This is the group we have, and we've been fired up about them from day one. So it's about maximizing the opportunities they get and us as coaches, you know, pointing out ways that they need to improve if that is the case.
Coach, Georgia has a guy, Charlie Condon, that is hitting over 500 right now. He's got 17 home runs. How do you approach a slugger like that?
Well, I would like to say I'm glad that the guy you're not asking about is not Fisher from Mississippi. Their leading slugger was just a pain in the butt and just a big-time presence and played a strong third base too. But, you know, Charlie Condon's going to be that and more, whether you like it or not, and it seems to be a surrounding cast too that's pretty strong. I mean, he had a couple homers against us last year that were really key. But if you reviewed the game or you know did it from the press box, you wouldn't say one guy won the whole game. So not only do we need to kind of keep him in check, but, you know, their whole team in general has a lot of home runs, and there's a lot of veterans in that lineup, especially the two guys. Well, really, they went crazy in the portal. So the guy hitting in front of them and the guy hitting after him is who I was going to mention. But really, the whole lineup kind of knows what D1 baseball is about, or even the SEC or Georgia. So there's a lot of experience in that lineup, like ours. So maybe the two lineups going head-to-head more than just one guy will be the focus. But, I mean, you're talking about arguably the best hitter, pure hitter in all of college baseball.
The launching pad could be in operation this weekend. Get to your seats early at Lindsey Nelson. Coach, I know you're limited on time here. I got two more questions for you. Speaking of Georgia, I see our old pal Jeff Macias is at it again down there, throws a guy out of the game. He hits a walk-off home run. He flips his helmet. Lord, no. Are the fun police going too far in college baseball? We can't have the fur coat on the field. Now we can't flip a helmet, Coach. I mean, what's going on?
Well, from our perspective, we had an incident where, you know, our guys were getting quick pitched and then, you know, the Illinois catcher standing up for his teammates and we're standing up for ourselves and who's right, who's wrong. And really it was about a situation that got kickstarted with, you know, just umpire needing to take control of that quick pitch situation. Well, literally that incident with Burke and Illinois and our team led to about five or six national emails, nationwide emails, the coaches, umpires, and they've really done a good job, in my opinion, of addressing that. And you're kind of cutting it off at the head or the root, I should say, of some of these problems in that instance. And then the celebration thing, you know, I've seen one bat flip from one of our guys where they let it go. And I just think it's here to stay and you can't go crazy. But I do think there's workarounds as well. If the kids, you know, they pre-plan all this stuff. I don't think anyone on our team, you know, in the fall scored a touchdown and pulled a cell phone out of their sock like somebody for the Saints did. But these guys are thinking about that stuff a little bit. So if they do give it some thought, there's some workarounds. There's ways they can show their swagger or their uniqueness and, you know, not go crazy with it. And then, of course, it's up to the umpires to just be, you know, manage the game. They don't have to be a state patrolman that's got to take over the world or flash their badge and show everybody that they're in charge of stuff. You can apply that whoever you'd like to.
What did our boy Frank Anderson say to get tossed the other day?
You know, there's a little bit of controversy to that, but there really wasn't a lot said. And to be honest with you, Frank doesn't, you know, have a lot of interest in missing opportunities to call pitches for our guys or manage the staff. So his intent was to go out there and add some levity to the situation because, again, Fisher, that slugger, every time he was up, we were on pins and needles in the dugout, and there was a couple pitches we were arguing, you know, kind of having our pitchers back. He hit his spot, doesn't get a call, and then the guy hits a home run or, you know, things like that. And it had already been heated. Frank had got a warning for balls and strikes, and I think as soon as he went to kind of make things a little lighter, add some levity to it, the umpire was kind of already in defense mode. And to be honest with you, that one, I'm always going to stand up for our players and, of course, the guys that make our coaching staff or make me look good when they do so well for the university. But I could kind of see it from both sides. And part of that is, I'm not on Twitter, but the reputation thing. I mean, last year, you know, the only game I was thrown out of, I didn't really have an intent to argue. I was just trying to defend our pitcher who got called for a balk, so he knew I kind of had his back. But I think that guy was, he thought I was some crazy madman coming out of the dugout, and he was kind of ready to defend himself. And so I really think reputation kind of built into that deal a little bit. And then also maybe just kind of a little not being on the same page or misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding.
That
yeah.
That dude's a great umpire, and I would not want any other person, Major League Baseball, college, or any working with our pitchers other than Frank Anderson.
Well, then you got this problem with, you know, Elander's down there, and now he can't go to the bathroom. I read that. He said he could. He's calling all the pitches, and then he's got to run out there. He's on coaching third base with his legs crossed. He's holding himself. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, he's usually pretty stoic over there, but he probably was prancing around a little bit more than normal. I'll tell you who's not afraid to miss a pitch is the guy with the smallest bladder in the SEC, and that's me. So, but Coach E had to kind of take the blunt of that whole deal, I guess.
Oh, we're going to send him one of those stadium buddies with the – have you seen these? You wear it in the – it's got like the little catheter and runs down your leg into a – like some sort of device or something. So you don't have to get up from your seat. We'll just get that for Coach E, and it'll be good to go.
Yeah, that's pretty aggressive. But I know some Swifties that have kind of taken it a step further and made sure they didn't have to go anywhere except stay put. So we'll you guys can talk about that when I'm not on the air.
I'll have to look that up. We'll do our research, and we'll let you run, Coach. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you guys, and appreciate the support. Should be a fun weekend for all things ball.
All right, we'll see you over there this weekend.
Okay, we'll see.
Tony Vitello making his presence felt this afternoon. You look. Are you on this, Chris? We're looking up the.
I'm not googling that.
Oh, that's where you draw the line, huh? You don't want to make it weird.
And all the weird stuff that we all Google around here.
Tucker is the one. His phone is corrupt.
Are you on it? All right, Tucker's on it. He's finding us what we're finding out. Yeah, did you not see that, Coach Elander? He has to, you know, run out, use the facility. Those guys are hydrating or whatever. It's warm out this weekend. You got to go use the facilities. But now he's calling the pitches. And as soon as that's done, he's got to run out to the third base coaching box and coach the runners so he can't go and use. There's like 3 hours out there, and my man's got to take a whiz.
He needs to cut down on his fluid intake.
Yeah, a little less caffeine.
Yeah.
All right. Very interesting conversation with Coach V. A lot to unpack there. We'll do it when we continue after this brief timeout. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon on the program, more Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear, Houston, and Tucker with you for one more segment. We got overtime headed your way next. All lines currently available. You want to jump in here. Our final segment of the show begins now. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Tony Vitello on the program today. Bear, what did you learn?
It sounds like Frank the Tank got that one on reputation, got ran on reputation.
It was so weird because it did seem like he was cracking a joke or something, and like what Tony said makes sense, is the guy was a little bit on – just a miscommunication. Guy was a little bit on edge.
Yeah, and Frank, I mean, I'm not going to lie. We got to be honest with ourselves. You can't blame the umpire, and I think that's what Tony said. He could see both sides of it. Frank's kind of got a reputation for being – I feel like I could say this as a fellow hothead – a little bit of a hothead. He says some crazy stuff sometimes, or he has in the past.
Frank missed Anderson, that live. How did he respond?
Frank?
Yeah.
What? Oh, my. Really? What are you?
Out of no all way. The stuff I've said, yeah. I got thrown like, for what? This?
Yeah. He wasn't angry. He was perplexed.
Yeah.
And then it was funny because he goes back in the dugout, and Elander is like what's the word I'm looking for? Rattled. He's what do I do now? So he's sitting in Frank's chair, and he's got Frank's clipboard, and Frank tries to hand him his pen, but he kind of throws it. He's like mad, so he kind of throws it, and it bounces off the clipboard and hits Elander in the face.
In the face?
Elander's just kind of rattled. He's like, I don't know. What do I do? I don't know what to do with my hands. And then the second day.
How would you feel if Frank's going nutsos?
Because that was in the middle of game two, right?
Yeah.
And so he misses game three. And for game three, Elander, they had him – they had one of those – if anybody was in band, you had the stand with the music.
They
had one of those in front of him so he can have his notes. And then he's got his clipboard. It's a very involved process, evidently, to call pitches for the Vols.
Poor Frank.
He
didn't deserve it.
The anger management classes, evidently – not taking the
no, they're working, but the people haven't. They're not giving him the respect he deserves for taking those. Yeah. He's trying to keep it lighthearted, whereas 2 years ago he just stormed out there and thrown a fit.
Kinder, gentler Frank Anderson.
Right.
It takes a split second to destroy trust and respect, and it takes a long time to rebuild it.
Earned in drops, lost in buckets.
I'm just been there, man. Somewhat of a rageaholic myself, I'll admit it.
The weather forecast looks fantastic
for this
the
weekend?
Rest of the week. Do you think with the Creighton game tipping off at 10, do you think we'll fill up Lindsey Nelson Friday night?
It's an interesting question.
I think it'll be a good crowd Friday. I don't know if we'll break the record from Sunday, but I'd say Saturday will crush the single game record.
Oh, well,
it's going to be 73 on
73
Saturday.
73 degrees. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday it's going to be cloudy, but it's still going to be 70. It's going to be 75 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, if we're playing Sunday,
I was about to bring that up.
Who knows? Yeah, but I think Tony.
What's
has an
first pitch
there.
Time for Sunday?
Probably like 1 or so.
They said it'd be around 2. No, we said it earlier in the show.
No, we're talking about the baseball game.
Oh, baseball game. I figured it started at noon.
Working on it.
It is at 2.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
Ruh-roh.
Got to win this series, man. Just win the series.
Yeah.
I'll take 2 out of 3 right now.
I would, too.
This weekend. It seems like a pretty good Georgia team coming in here. Big knockers. In the lineup. The lineup. They have some players that hit the ball, that knock the ball.
You like big knockers, Chris?
In our lineup.
Not from Georgia. What do you mean?
Oh.
Go ahead. Expound on that, Bear.
Why don't we go back to the phones?
All right. Jason is next. What's up, Jason?
Hey, man. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. I wanted to share. Tony was on when I got in the car, and I wanted to share a little funny story about all the rage a little bit during the Ole Miss game. I have seats a few rows behind the first base dugout.
Nice.
And so I think it was the same game after Frank got kicked out. And so Tony, one of the pitchers was getting up, and he had a little butt shake on the mound, and he wasn't coming still for technically it's a balk.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept hearing everyone chirping about it in the stands anyways. And then one time it happened, and Tony put one hand on the little pony wall that's there that all the players stand on and jumped over it and ran at the first baseman, the first base ump. And then I think he realized what he was doing. He was saying some colorful words. We'll just say that. you could even hear it. And then he made a hard beeline to the right in that little cutout area in the fence. Like, oh crap, I can't get ejected in this game. We had a great laugh at it up in the stands. And like, he is so passionate about these guys and protecting his team, and I love it. So I just wanted to share that little nugget that we got at the game over the weekend. Versus
outstanding. When you get up close like that, really good seats near the dugout, you can hear everything.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. You hear some interesting stuff, and he's standing up for his guys, so I love it. I love him. So.
Yeah, man. He seems like he's in a good place with this year's team, and it's a hard schedule, man. We've got to continue to win games here. I think a lot of people just are penciling in another regional and NCAA tournament appearance. It doesn't work like that, man. I mean, he's just set the bar so high that we've come to expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're 3-3 right now in conference play. I mean, and have not played that poorly. So,
and I would say it's almost like Kentucky with basketball, in that we're going to get every team's best effort every time they're coming out. They're not taking us lightly for anything. When you have our guys who aren't even playing, starting, hitting 4-for-4 with a 3-run home run yesterday. Those are our bench players that are killing it. So. We're blessed to have a team like we do, and it's fun to watch, so I enjoy it.
Good stuff, Jason. Anything else?
That's it, man. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean,
that's one thing that probably I think fans maybe realize it a little bit more, but a lot of new players stepping into new roles. I wonder if maybe that's something with this early season 3-3 start. Like, you have to know, like, right now, You're big bad Tennessee. The teams look at us a lot like they're looking at LSU right now.
Who's LSU 2-4 in the league?
Right.
By the way.
Yeah, but defending national champs.
Yeah.
Again, they're getting everyone's best shot. They're 2-4. We're getting everyone's best shot. We're 3-3. And I'm not saying Ole Miss is bad. I'm not saying Bama's bad. But we haven't even really gotten into the meat of this schedule. Well, although it is the SEC and everybody's good, but
I say it's a hard schedule, and it is. I don't think there's anything such as an easy schedule.
Not
in
this league, no.
But there are two teams that are 1-5 right now, Auburn and Missouri, and we get to play both of them.
Yep.
We play at Auburn next week, and then Missouri at home. You got to sweep one of those series, probably at home against Mizzou, if I had to choose. But you need to be going at least 5-1, I think, in those two series.
I would agree with that. Problem is, between those, LSU comes to town. Although, like you said, they're 2-4. So everyone was bragging on their super low ERA from their first two pitchers. And
well, they had the same thing. I mean, LSU comes to town, and we're going to be rip-roaring, ready to go.
Yep.
They get everybody's best. I mean, Florida rolls in there. It's a rematch of the championship series from Omaha last year. I mean, that was a war.
Yes.
And Florida won it.
I don't even think I knew that series was going on. I might have tuned into a little bit of that.
I watched
– those two teams hate each other.
The YouTube account Wheels will put condensed versions of all these games. Yeah. I watch those all the time.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
how long does it take to run through one?
10 minutes.
Really?
For a game, yeah. They'll have the highlights. Wheels is a great YouTube account if you're into this college baseball thing.
Wheels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you could just punch in, like, if you want to watch, just punch in Florida LSU highlights baseball, and it'll
pop it up.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how salty that rivalry was in baseball. I'd never seen college kids doing some of the stuff that they were doing last night.
We play in Gainesville, right?
Yes.
I believe that's right.
Yeah. Yes, because they came up here last year.
That'd be a tough one.
Somebody threw it at somebody's head last night.
First weekend of May. For that one.
And that's something you don't normally see in college, where they're just obviously throwing high.
And what game is this?
Florida LSU from this past weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. Threw up, went upstairs with a couple of pitches. One of the guys from LSU grabbed his crotch.
Did the guy get to stay in? Normally in college, if they catch you throwing intentionally at all, see ya.
Well, somebody got the LSU manager got tossed. Or LSU's coach got tossed.
Jay Johnson.
Oh, he was hot.
Oh, no, I did see that. I did see that clip of him coming out and going just berserk.
Yeah. I was like, dude, you're lucky your player didn't get tossed for grabbing his, It's kind of a nut. I'll get you thrown in an MLB game. Umpire just sees it and doesn't like it. They've got a, they've got some problems. Have you seen some of that, Houston? Some of the controversy. What's that? Well, Tucker, what's the one guy's name? Just, he's a horrible umpire.
Angel Hernandez.
That's it.
Yeah, he's already been – he's in midseason form, man. He had a meltdown like a month ago in spring training.
Dude, that pitch he called a strike was like – it was a good 10 inches off the corner.
How do we not have robo-umps yet? That's so infuriating. And college baseball is so much worse than Major League Baseball in terms of the quality of the umpiring. And it generally evens out. I mean, we get bad calls that go right our way plenty of times. But you will see at least once a game a pitch that is called a ball or strike that shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And then a pitch hit in that same location in the same at bat and is called differently.
Why is it such a big deal when the batter does the thing? Like, it's an automatic. Like, the umpires, they just straight toss them where they show where the pitch went with their bat.
Oh, yeah. If you draw it in the dirt, you're gone.
You see that one video?
Absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure Tucker will take up for the umpires in that one. Seemed like a baseball purist.
What?
An elbow patch kind of guy.
What? You going to sit here and let Tiger Team Bear just talk to you like that?
Not an umpire enthusiast, by any means.
You're a purist, though. Out of the four of us, you'd be baseball purist. You think it's rude? You think they should be thrown out for that?
For doing what?
Showing where the pitch actually went.
No.
I stand corrected, then. Sorry.
Is it? Yeah, I was wondering if that was going to elicit an apology.
Very rarely will I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Gary is next. Hello, Gary.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's it going today?
It's going well, thank you.
I caught just the end of Coach's interview there, and the Erlang coach and E and the bathroom thing. That's that was interesting. But
that would suck.
So our research, what Coach was referencing at the Swifties, evidently, is there are so many. You go to they have these stadium concerts, right, for Taylor mm-hmm. Swift, and there are so many more women at the shows than men, which is usually not the case at a stadium like that. They're built for more men, obviously, for football stadiums, and so the women have just been using the men's room.
Okay.
They've just been going in there.
Taking it over was the verbiage used in the article I read.
Which, well, I mean, I don't care if I'm – say I'm taking my daughter or wife or whatever to the Taylor Swift show. I've had a couple of pops. I got to go to the bathroom. I mean, if the ladies want to come over, that's fine. But
I don't think they'd want to be in
the stalls, and I don't know if women can use the trough or what. I mean, I've seen the pictures of that Georgia fan a couple of years ago. But
she navigated it.
That's not going to stop me from doing what I got to do. That's all I'm saying.
No, and could you imagine some female wanting to be, you know, in the south end zone bathroom? There's some funky stuff.
Not a pleasant place.
Well, that's not a pretty picture at all. So what do you guys think is worse, SEC basketball officiating or SEC baseball umpiring?
Oh, wow.
I'd go probably with the exception, if you take Macias out of the equation – I would definitely go with basketball.
Well,
I think I would too, Bear. I agree with you there.
I would.
I don't know how this works in baseball umpiring, but if I had to guess, it's probably like college basketball, where this is a bit of a misnomer. There isn't really SEC basketball officials. Because you will see Pat Adams do a Tennessee game on a Wednesday, and then he'll be doing an ACC game on a Thursday. So it's not like football where you have dedicated crews for each conference. And I think this is the way it works in baseball too, where I think you'll see some of the guys who will do an SEC series might be doing an ACC series.
Well, I've seen Macias do – I'm pretty sure he was in an Arizona one, threw a guy out in Arizona not long after that Tennessee-Bama series a couple years ago.
He's more of a West Coast kind of guy. So,
you know, guys, the college baseball – is a fantastic sport. I love the fact that you guys talk a lot about it. You have Coach on. I kind of rediscovered it right around COVID, and we looked into season tickets, and we started buying season tickets, still got them, love going. And it is just a fun, fun sport to follow, and it helps a lot that we're pretty good at it.
It's such a blessing for what we do, because if our basketball season ends this weekend, whether it's Friday or Sunday, and that's over, then we have maybe a week or so to sort of digest that on the air. And then what are we talking about? There's a lot of excitement around football right now, but I don't think it's not really enough to carry the show. And so from our perspective, I'm looking at, you know, I got April, May, June. Like, that's like 3 months with not much going on. And now we've got this sport that we can totally geek out over and cover just like we do football and basketball and get really into it. I know it's not for everybody. It's fine. But we're into it, man. That's what we're going to be doing the next 3 months. And then
it almost feeds
seamlessly into
football.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I love it so much. Like, you know, I'm a baseball guy. When baseball season starts, for me, it moves to the front burner of the stove. And then I put basketball kind of on the back burner a little bit, and I pay more attention to baseball. I know that's probably not the normal person out there, but for me, I love baseball that much. And I've pretty much been in baseball mode for a month now.
That's cool.
So,
yeah, I just can't do it.
Did he say anything about Amy? Any update on when to expect him back?
Just vaguely. You know, it sounded like he's definitely going to miss this series this weekend, and then they'll just sort of reevaluate next week.
He could be back for Auburn, but he's not saying he will be back for Auburn.
Boy, did Antigua look good at shortstop last night or what? Wow.
He did. I don't think he looked good enough to take Dean Curley's job. I've seen a lot of people talk. It's good to have that as an option, but I think he was 0-for-3 with the bat last night, and so to me that's still Dean Curley's job. And yes, Antigua does look good.
You're right. I get it. I agree. But he's a guy that you can put in the seventh or eighth inning, ninth inning, and you know he's going to make a great play and maybe take a hit away up the middle like he did last night, if need be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that's a good weapon to have. No doubt about it.
Good stuff, Gary. Really appreciate the phone call, my man.
All right. See you guys.
That's going to do it. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Houston. Thank you, Tucker. Overtime headed your way next on many of these fan-run affiliates. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on The Drive.